Absolutely.
You sign? You don't have to sign.
Yeah, I'm only about to.
There you go, doctor.
Whoops.
Sign the sheet.
Is hold on, Margaret.
Yeah, she's here.
I saw your name.
You guys ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
So I'd like to call this session the Courts and Public Safety Committee in order. So I'm Randy Higgins. I'm the chair of the committee. The committee members should have a copy of the agenda. First on the agenda tonight will be Justice Good. So I'm going to go ahead and recognize Justice Steve Good.
Justice Higgins, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I actually have two things that I'd like to bring before the court tonight, and if you don't mind, I'd like to bring them separate. The first thing that I would like to bring, at the beginning of your meeting, and then I'd like to bring the other one at the close of your meeting, if that's
so you,
okay.
So you want to be the bookends?
Yes, sir, if you don't mind. I'm All a right. big old boy. I can be big enough to be on both ends.
All so, right. Please proceed.
The first item I'd like to bring tonight, have a very special occasion that I think our county needs to observe. And so I've asked Senator Jason Rapert to come forward, and he's got a proclamation I'd like for him to present tonight, if that would please this committee.
All right, Senator Rapert.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you for having me here. And I've got a special citation, Mr. Chairman, actually for your parents. And so if you don't mind, would you allow me to call them up here with
please
me?
Proceed.
All right. Would Miss Loretta and Ross Higgins join me here? Yeah. All these law enforcement are here for good reason. Actually, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, since we have him here, and this is a citation from the Arkansas Legislature, I'd like to get Representative Cooper, Representative Part of Northern Faulkner County, to join us for this as well. Well, we've been trying to put this together now for some time, and so tonight you guys get to witness what we often do on the floor of the Arkansas Senate and the Arkansas House, is recognize very special events in the lives of citizens of the state of Arkansas. And so today we're here to give a citation to Mr. and Mrs. Higgins for their 60th wedding anniversary. Typically do at the Arkansas Senate is that we go to the well of the Senate, we'll call the person down just like we've done here tonight for you, and we'll ask those that are here to be a witness for this. So if you would, stand with me for a moment as I make this formal presentation to you. Whereas Conway residents Ross and Loretta Higgins were married 60 years ago on February the 6th, 1960, at the First Baptist Church in West Memphis, Arkansas, their loving and committed helpmates and have cherished their journey of 6 decades of rewarding experiences together. And whereas they are proud parents of 2 sons, Randy Higgins, wife Verna of Greenbrier, and Kenneth Higgins of Conway, and have 2 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. And whereas Mr. Higgins owned and operated Higgins Rod and Reel for 18 years, retired from Wonder Bread Continental Baking Company after 22 years, since 1973, Mrs. Higgins has been an established seamstress providing exceptional garments and alterations for citizens across the state. And whereas the members of the Arkansas Senate wish to join Senator Raper and Representative Cooper here in congratulating Mr. and Mrs. Ross and Loretta Higgins as they observe this special milestone in their lives. So now, therefore, pursuant to my motion, the Arkansas directs this citation be presented on the 6th day of February, a few days past that date. And we just want you to know that we are congratulating you, and we appreciate you for the great role models of citizenry that you've done here in Faulkner County all these many years. God bless you. All right.
You can give a speech if you want.
You need the microphone?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
college.
Mr. Chair, I know they're your parents, but I do think your mother did say I was her favorite JB on Facebook this week. So I'm just, she's got to be real if it said on Facebook.
I think so.
In the background right there. Yeah. And that's the favorite, right?
There you go. I might have prodded her into that, though.
That's right.
Okay, come on. Oh,
my house is on this agenda.
All right, I want to thank the committee for indulging me for a few moments. I want to thank Senator Rapert for making the trip up here this evening. Just as good for helping us out with that. So at this point, what I'd like to do is move to the next item on the agenda, which is a 911 update. So I have three items that we want to just provide updates on that we discussed last month. The 911 update, we had a public meeting, let's say on January the 29th, with the 911 board in Faulkner County. We received actually some very positive news that we did not have last month when we were talking about this. So Renee Hoover of the 911 board and Josh Curtis of the Arkansas Association of Counties advised us that originally when they were doing their estimates regarding the change that they did in the tax for the Public Safety Act, that probably we would receive somewhere in the neighborhood of a 60% increase due to changing the way that they were initially taxing cell phones and landlines. So we all know that landlines have been diminishing and that cell phones have been increasing, but that the tax on the landlines was significantly higher. So they did a change on that. And so we were estimating that there would be a 60% increase in revenue to help fund 911 operations across the state. So the report that we received was that it was not going to be 60%, but probably double that. So that's very good news. So the report that Sheila gave us, our OEM director gave us last month, is that we were anticipating a $1.3 million shortfall in 2022 when we do our next upgrade, that due to the change and everything, that shortfall will probably be closer to $400,000. So still not a small amount, but $400,000 sounds a whole lot better than $1.3 million. So just wanted to provide that update. Any questions regarding 911? Okay. I'll move on to the next topic. So we also discussed the courthouse restoration program. Our county clerk, Crystal Taylor, could not make it here this evening, but she did send me an email that she wanted me to share with the committee. That she did apply for the application before the deadline, received an email requesting some additional information from her regarding some pictures and potential problem areas that there may be in the building of our courthouse, which was built in 1936. So they just wanted to see what issues there may be. So she was working to gather that information and forwarding it back to the Arkansas Historic Preservation Society. So really the update is she did apply. They're asking additional questions and is moving forward as we discussed, before we actually accept the grant, the quorum court would have to vote on that. So we're probably still a month or so down the road on that. Any questions regarding the courthouse restoration program? Okay, very good. The next item was regarding the animal shelter. Did I see Dan? There's Dan. Dan, would you like to provide us a short update?
Yeah, I've got some numbers too, if anybody wants to look at them. I'm not going to go into depth on them, but there were a couple issues I kind of wanted to clarify with you guys.
Okay.
I don't want to keep the crowd waiting.
All right, so this will be an update on the proposed animal shelter at the former puppy park.
Yeah, this is basically the revenue collection issue. Where in the left-hand column, the gray section, you're going to see that it starts out with what we have now cumulative in the existing balance. It's approximately $1.65 million in change one way or the other. I talked to Scott today, and he says this is what it is. And that's column A. Column B is how we would propose to use that balance, cumulative balance, over 10 years. The next column, C, is estimated tax revenues based upon what we have today. And the voluntary tax revenues are in flux because of the loss of some businesses, etc. But Scott feels comfortable in saying that we should still get around $124,000 in projection next year. Going forward, I've increased the voluntary tax revenues about 5%. I'm showing interest income, estimated grants and contributions, and a total in column F here. And what I'm saying here is like the first six-month period, 2020, we estimate there to be available roughly $258,000, which would be roughly, it's 5% of the cumulative balance plus the revenue items. Next year, it'd be roughly $380,000, okay? And what I want, without going into all of the details in length, my main issue I want to address right now is that in the left-hand column, column A, the cumulative balance. And I think there's some interest in not spending all of the money and keeping some money in vent that downstream we want to use some money to build a big new shelter. Okay. Well, building a new shelter is contingent on a sales tax increase, which right now I would say would be highly speculative at best. Now, I'm proposing to project over a 10-year window using that $1.65 million, so roughly $165,000 a year over 10 years. After 5 years, we'd like to reassess, and if in that 5-year window the tax mood has changed or a petition has been able to be signed and an election passed for a new tax, after the end of 5 years, we still essentially have roughly $800,000 to $900,000 available to build a new shelter. If after 5 years there is no new tax, we still have an operating facility that is adequate, and we have money available for an additional 5 years. Now, in that 10-year window, we're going to be increasing the voluntary tax, we hope, by promoting it considerably, going after the businesses and encouraging them to provide more money to the voluntary tax. Okay, so that's speculative. The interest is going to go away eventually, grants, etc. But the idea we're seeing here is, in order to do what we're trying to do, is move thousands and thousands of animals out of the state, I mean out of the county, and in the northern states, which is very viable right now. It appears to be for a considerable time period to be very viable. It takes money to do that. Transport, we take people to not only get the animals in and put them in a cage, but we have to give them shots, we have to get them fixed, we have to hold them, quarantine them, and then we have to find adopters for it, and then we have to find a considerable number of adopters up north to take them. We're not just shipping these dogs off to some farm up there where people are going to take them at $10 each. These are our strays or somebody else's golden dog. I mean, these people up north really want these animals. So that is our goal, is to maximize the amount of animals we can decrease the population with without having to put many, many down. Okay, that's, I don't think anybody has the political will to spay and neuter to euthanize a large number of animals. And why we want to use this, many of you guys may not be aware, but there has been a boarding kennel that is closed down in the more central part of the county called Puppy Park. It's been here 16, 17 years, I believe. It was built by the Curley family, and they've operated for many years, and now they've decided to close it down. It's a very attractive facility. It's larger than the Conway facility. It's air-conditioned and heated, and has got amenities and considerable areas where it would be very viable to use for an animal shelter. We have to spend a little money on getting it up to speed, however. But the owner doesn't want to sell.
So Dan, let me just interrupt for a second.
Okay.
Really, where you need to be doing your sales pitch is to the committee.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Because we're the ones going to be appropriating the money or not.
Well, I trust you guys. This guy's a little scary. No, I understand. No. Okay, I got you. My point being is, since the owner doesn't want to sell, is an advantage to us. Because we have money to where we can either build a shelter or we can operate a shelter. But we don't have money to do each. I mean, do both. We can do one or the other. So in leasing this facility for $1,000 a month, plus putting some upfront money, which at this point looks like $50,000-ish, to get the facility upgraded and adapted, we have a very viable, workable facility. And we can use that, our money we have now, for operations. And when we start operating facility, we can ask for grants, revenues, etc. I've been in contact with the Pulaski Humane Society, and they've advised me there's a considerable number of contributors from Faulkner County, from Conway, to the Pulaski facility, which is a no-kill facility. And they anticipate that we would be getting a considerable amount of those contributions if we go as no-kill as possible, okay? And so theoretically, by using our money to do an adequate job to get this up and running, where we can actually start generating revenues from outside sources, we will be able to almost double or at least add $200,000 or so to our budget, and accordingly accomplish, I would say, close to all of our, but a lot of it. So that is the revenue. I just want you guys, you can play with this a little bit, but I wanted to give you an idea of what we're talking about as far as using the money. I don't have details yet on cost. We're still getting cost projections. We found some mold in one of the buildings, and the owner, Mr. Curley, is ripping out all the inside, and we're treating the mold and getting that down, which I think is largely already done. So we're anticipating a cost by the end of this month, and for the next meeting we can give you an overall package and show what we're trying to do. Does anybody have any questions?
Justice Lahowski?
My question would be, I'm looking at the transported animals. Just based off of your best estimate, would you ever guess that number to go down? Like the fact that we're doing good, we've got less animals we need to get rid of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, because if you look at the total number of animals, you have to exponentiate that. Because for every animal that you spay and neuter or get out of the county, that's not reproducing,
yeah,
you're probably, you know, reducing the population of 5 or 6 animals. So you take 1,000 animals, get them out, you're probably reducing the population of 5,000 or 6,000.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility that the issue really is we really don't have a really firm grasp.
Absolutely.
On what the population is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is a possibility. So we're thinking as we go, the costs may actually decrease, but if you look at this calculation, after 10 years, I've got a year 11 and 12, 2030, and actually the tax revenue or the amount from the accumulative balance goes away,
mm-hmm,
and we're still operating,
mm-hmm,
with a reasonable balance,
mm-hmm,
to make it happen. So it looks like it will be self-perpetuating with the voluntary tax. That is speculative, but I think it's reasonable from other people I've talked to. So what we're looking at here is a no new tax proposal, no increases in taxes. We can use our money effectively and wisely, but we have to do it with an injection of capital early. If we try to do this nickel and diming it, it's a disaster. You're accomplishing nothing. So that's what I wanted to communicate. I wanted to do it the whole way. And it's well in the process of getting done. I appreciate you guys' patience and concern, and look forward to working with you guys in the future. Any other questions?
Yeah, one point I want to make, Dan, just taking consideration on the financial line, is that the Quorum Court did appropriate $35,000 towards spay and neuter. That'll come out of this fund. And that was not probably the entire appropriation for the year, I think, for a maximum of $50,000. So hypothetically, if you do $50,000 a year, you might want to take that out of your calculations.
Well, that was one thing I would like to discuss, and I'm not trying to get greedy and say we deserve all the funds. But, and I'm very familiar with companion people. They're very familiar with me, and I think they would likely agree with what I'm saying here. But they're consistently maxed out on the number of spares and neuters they do. By giving them more money to do spays and neuters, they're not going to be doing more spays and neuters. Does that make any sense?
And I'm going through my notes, but also there was another volunteer that was also providing grants for spay and neuter in the state of Arkansas as well.
Yeah, there's several. There's a lot of grants going on. But what I was proposing, and I'm not trying to slight companions, they do an excellent job for the public. But what we're dealing with is the animals that no one else is going to spay and neuter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we can't really use companions because we can't wait 2, 3, 4 weeks to spay and neuter an animal. We're getting an animal in and we're trying to get it out of there 2, 3 weeks at the outside. And we can't actually do that. So what we're looking at doing is using local vets and or hiring part-time vets or whatever we can. We're going to pay a little bit more for them, but we're actually going to increase the number of animals that get spayed and neutered during the year by not using companions. Now, no slide on them, but they are maxed out. So we may want to address that.
No, that's something that needs to be in your operational plan that we would not have taken into consideration.
I just
so that's good information.
Some of the concept to you now.
Yeah.
No,
good input. Any other questions from the committee?
Yeah, just had a couple.
Kendrick?
If I may. Thank
yes.
You. Just bringing on that, I like what I'm seeing here. I want to say continue on and carry it because roughly what was brought before the court at one point was a $2 to $3 million facility that was unfurnished, talking about tax increases. And now, based upon these estimates, and I realize they are estimates, but we're looking at addressing this without raising taxes and using the funds we have on hand. So this is a major step in the right direction, in my opinion, at doing that. Do you have a 501c3 currently set up that will address?
Well, we have one that we've been using in the past, but we're going to set up a new one specifically for this purpose. And it's going to take a little bit to get it set up because this is going to be a larger 501c3. It's not the standard cookie cutter under $50,000 model. It's going to be a larger, more significant because we'll be receiving more. That's exactly what we're doing.
And I know you mentioned as well that you were looking at having a board in place. Are you still marching?
Yeah, we're still doing that. We essentially have a group already. We'd like to recruit a few more people, and we wouldn't mind getting somebody from the Corn Port and or the local community. I don't know what the requirements are. And we prefer here, actually.
So I have a quick question for Councillor Murphy, and this can be a simple nod, but I assume at some point we'll have to talk about an MOU or something of that nature.
Yes, sir. I think the first step is probably for this group to get their footing as far as their legal standing, if they're a 501c3, and then assuming that they get all that in place, at that point they would be eligible to contract with the county. So. As far as the order, you can call it a MOU or whatever, but I would urge this court to enter into a contract or at least have the judge is ultimately the one responsible for that contract, but I think the judge has made it clear that he wants this group to be part of that negotiation process in some ways.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Any other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the update. All right. Mr. Bookend.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's good.
Mr. Chair and members of the Courts and Public Safety Committee, I appreciate you letting me speak before you tonight. First off, we have many guests here tonight that have probably never attended a Corn Port meeting. And so if you would allow me just a moment, I'd like to just welcome them, number one. And then two, also kind of give them just a little history about what we're going to talk about tonight. and how we have to talk about it. I got a couple of Facebook messages or text messages today expressing some concern about why we would not be prepared to fully go forward with this tonight. And Mr. Chair, as you know, it's up to you and the committee if that happens or not. What I would like for those of you that are not familiar with Quorum Court, have never been to a Quorum Court meeting, we're the legislative body of the county, but we have to perform our duties different than what the legislative body of the state does. Senator Rayford, Representative Cooper here are tonight, and both do an excellent job of representing us at the state capitol. But if an issue comes before them at the state capitol, they may talk about it all day long, all night long. They may communicate up to the committee meeting, before committee meeting, after committee meeting, up to the vote. They can communicate the entire time about a bill that may come before them. The Quorum Court is restricted, and we may not do that. So when we have an issue that comes before the court, I may not reach out to Justice Higgins or Justice Schock or Justice Boyer, Kendrick, or Lahosky, even though they're on this committee. I may not reach out to them and say, hey, I'd like to bring an issue before the court tonight, and this is what I think about it. That's forbidden by state law. And so Justice Higgins and I actually did have a phone conversation this week. It was to plan a little surprise for his parents. Quite frankly, we may have broken a rule because that was an issue that came before the court. I guess I would take my slap on the hand if that was the case. But for official county business, we may not speak about that. So with that being said, Mr. Chair, I would like to introduce to you an ordinance that was passed recently by Scott County. I would like to at least introduce it to this committee tonight. I'm not sure what you can do with it tonight since you have not looked at it before now and since you've not had the interaction with me about this before tonight. This is an ordinance that is quite frankly, is a Bill of Rights sanctuary ordinance that was passed by Scott County. There are some things that, you know, as this discussion goes forward, I will probably have questions for our counselor that I would probably bring to him. But I think each of you have a copy, and I would like to at least present this to this committee tonight.
All right, Justice Good. I want to thank you for bringing it for the committee. So, I can only speak for myself, but I've had two or three constituents reach out to me about this particular issue. So I started doing some checking myself because I was not familiar with it. So I did a little bit of research on it. And so as you guys know, the Quorum Court has voted for me to represent this court, Faulkner County, in the Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts, which is a body made up of 75 justices of the peace, one from each county. And we gather to talk about issues that impact statewide issues. So it appears that this is an endeavor by some to encourage this across the state. So as a member of the Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts, I've been nominated and voted in as the vice president of that body. So I reached out to the president, Justice David Thompson of Boone County, and I asked him, because I can talk to a justice of another county, just not our own. And he did say that they were also looking at this. And so I requested that this particular issue be placed on the agenda for our Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts meeting that we have upcoming in this quarter. And he agreed that he would do that so that the 75 delegates from the various counties could have this before us so that we could talk about it. And then we could come back and bring information back to our associated Quorum Courts, our assigned Quorum Courts. So it would be my preference at this point, because this is still relatively new to us, most of us probably just a few days, since we haven't talked, I don't know, but I assume just a few days. My suggestion, and I would entertain a motion, that we table this until I can go to that meeting so that I can interact with the other 75 delegates, bring back additional information, and also give the members of this particular committee time to research this in depth, have additional conversations with your constituents, so that at such time we could come back before this committee in preparation to make a recommendation to the court. All of this would be done in the public domain. There would not be any midnight surprise meetings and we pass something. All of this would be very transparent so that we could have those discussions, and so we would have time for our constituents to be able to reach out to us.
Mr. Chairman, you said when is this meeting?
It is, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's the 1st of April, first week in April.
Okay.
So any questions?
I have a question, and it's up to you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering, since we have such a group in front of us tonight, if you'd be willing to entertain a representative from the group to talk about this as a whole and just what it means to them and why this is in front of us, I guess.
So I think, Justice Lahowski, what I will do at that request, because we're not prepared to debate it tonight, I would entertain if there was a person that wanted to speak to us and represent that and just share some information with it. There will be a time when we are prepared for full-fledged debate and discussion from the public. I would welcome that. I don't think tonight is that night. But if anybody would like to raise their hand and speak to us for a few minutes about this, I would entertain a person. I don't know if there's an organized spokesman. Sir?
I'll make it very brief.
Please, if you'd like to come up and identify yourself and where you're from.
My name is Robert Goff. I'm from Bologna. This bill is just to make it really, really, not bill, this ordinance is really, to make it really brief, it is simply the Bill of Rights, as you all have probably grown up knowing about and studying about as a child. It also has provision in there to restrict, or not restrict, but enforcement for county officials that would infringe upon rights, the Bill of Rights. So I'm looking at y'all's website. Most of your ordinances are to restrict us, the people, and pass taxes, and spending money, and restrictions on us. This is an ordinance to put a restriction on our closest layer of government that we interact with every day. So this is brought to you from the people to put a restriction on you, basically. Not you personally, but to restrict the county from spending their resources on potentially infringing on rights. So this comes from a large amount of people out here, and that's where it's coming from.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Goff. I appreciate that. Okay, so we have a setting for this. So at this point, any further discussion, comments from the committee?
I do have one question. Just since we have a larger than normal committee crowd, how many of y'all are actually from Faulkner County or Faulkner County residents?
Very good.
Awesome. Very good.
Okay. All right, so I would entertain a motion, Justice Boyer.
So moved, sir.
So moved that we table this.
Table this to get information from the committee that you serve on with the Arkansas County.
Okay.
And I second the motion.
Have a second. Any discussion from the committee?
I would also like to request that the counselor review this document that was handed to us and be able to discuss it when we do bring it before the committee.
Okay.
Well, on this, I had a conversation with Senator Raper yesterday, or I believe maybe the day before. And he was asking about this ordinance, and I said, well, there's not going to be an ordinance. So, I mean, I'm completely out in the dark. And that's, you know, with us not being able to speak to one another, that kind of what happened. But so, yes, I think this motion is definitely the way to go.
So, Justice Shock, were you kind of leaning towards we need to address our state representatives about this FOIA situation that we find ourselves in? So I know Senator Raper has been a champion of that with us. All right, so we have a motion, second on the floor. Any other comment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that motion carries.
Mr. Chair, thank you for allowing me to come before your committee tonight.
Justice Good, thank you for both issues. I appreciate
it.
Yes,
sir.
Any further business for this committee? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
We'll move.
Second.
All right, this meeting is adjourned.